is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it. In this week's episode, I bring on my dear friend Simon Vandy. Simon is a former investment banking executive with over 26 years of experience in the industry, including shops like Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan, Bank of New York, HSBC, and more. Join us as he walks us through the wisdom of investing into companies that support diversity, inclusion, and equity. You don't want to miss it. Plus, Simon teaches us how to drive change, starting with yourself and expanding your movement forward, so that you too will become a powerful leader of change in your pursuit of making billions. Here we go. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have one of my very dear friends, Simon Vandy. Simon is an investment banking executive, investor, and data scientist. This guy has over 26 years of experience in places like Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan, Bank of New York, HSBC, RBS. I could keep going, but I think you get the idea. One of the things that I love about Simon is he is huge on driving positive change in business and finance, and he's going to get into all of it. So Simon, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Ryan. Great to be here. I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, man. It has been a pleasure just to get to know you. You're one of my dear friends. And man, the change that you're driving for both funders and founders is absolutely phenomenal. Every time I talk to you, man, you tell me about all the stuff that you're working on, these huge multi-million dollar fundraisers, everything. We're going to get into all of that. I mean, you are a dynamo, man. You are a beast in the finance industry. We're certainly very fortunate to have a man with your experience, but also your heart, your drive, and your values on this show. You perfectly represent the community, and I cannot wait to hear everything you have to say. So before we do that, Simon, originally you're in UK now, but you've had quite an interesting history, and I think the fans around the world would love to know, how did you get started in this sector, and more importantly, how can others people follow in the path that you've set? So maybe you can walk us through a little bit of where it all started for you, and then we can talk about all the cool stuff you're working on today.
Okay, so Ryan, that's a big question. I guess I need to travel back in time.
Sure.
So this is what I believe. I believe that every single person here on Earth has got something that's core to them, and it's the reason why they're here.
Yeah.
They're supposed to make an impact, and I often see it as us aspiring to inspire before we expire. Okay, so <That's> now awesome. When I look back, I think my ideals are really crafted from who my parents were. My dad was very much of a philanthropist and educationist, and very much well grounded in being able to change and give positive impact and on the differentiation between white and black. Mm-hmm. He saw it more about diversity of thought process. And he thought the way to educate the West is really about African or African Americans. It's really going back to the nitty gritty of the culture. So my dad was a diplomat and spearheaded a mission in order to educate Western cultures about African cultures, about African folklore and dance history and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so he was very much from education from day one. And so he instilled in us is that whatever you do, always remember you need to give back. And the reason why you need to give back, the reason why you are here today is because of what your ancestors did before you. Okay, so that's the thought process that got nurtured in my brain.
Yeah.
And also my mom was very much of a philanthropist. My mom, and I would say to date, has educated over 100 persons, whether it's through mentoring and sending them through university, etc. And she was a juggernaut for her time.
Yeah.
She's one of the very first women to venture into interior decorating within Africa.
Yeah.
She's of Afro-Lebanese heritage.
Yes.
And she became one of the most successful women of her time, and even to the point that she actually interior decorated of about 60 and houses for diplomats for the Organization of African Unity. But whatever I did, it was all instilled in me that I had to be able to really spread out. And so in school, university, and in today's work life, everything I do is all about mentorship. It's all about what can I do to create positive perceptions in absolutely everything I do. And I think that's the core, the very much core of that sets the foundation of the businesses I do today. And in terms of my language, whether it's in finance, whether it's in compliance, it's all about creating a level playing field of diversity.
Wow. And so that's absolutely incredible. And how fortunate you've been to see the example that your parents had set. You know, being a parent myself, I understand what that's like. You want to instill those good values. And so now that you've taken on those values and seen the generosity that your parents provided, but also we'll call them disruptors, cultural disruptors. That's a positive word in venture capital for sure. So now that you were instilled in this drive to mentor, support, help, educate, where did that go? This is young Simon. How did that instill you in the growth throughout your career?
Okay, so going back from when I was young, I went to school, and whenever I came back home, whatever it is I learned, I would go to the local kids and I will teach them.
Yeah.
To ensure that they had a bit of grasp of what I did. But also what I did is I kind of went deeper into their own way of life, their own culture. And the reason why that is in order for you to impact change, you really need to understand, what I considered as differentiations. So you can't really appreciate what somebody really is expressing until you're actually part of that. So I spent a lot of time as I was young, really trying to understand that. When I was in university as well, I was head of what was referred to as a literary, in school, I was head of what is referred to as a literary debating society.
Yeah.
And these were a bunch of students who really kind of debated about changes in life, in commercial activity, economies, and in order to foster positive change. In university, I was also part of what was referred to as the Afro-Caribbean Society.
Yeah.
And again, parts of something that was being, it's all about positive change. And when I went to work, I was also a driving force in order to create diversity inclusion in the workplace. So for instance, when I worked at UBS Investment Bank, I ensured that a lot of minorities were employed in positions because I knew that we had to be positive ambassadors, but also we needed to change the perception of what an investment bank is. Investment bank is not just about finance. It has extra sections with legal, marketing, branding, and so forth. And when I moved to other places like Deutsche Bank, I helped started what was referred to as the Eye of a Dream program, which was about encouraging young students and who were just entering into university to understand the life of working with it for an investment bank. So we had a 4-week program where the position in terms of different sections, whether it's trading, whether it's merger and acquisition, whether it's being a business analyst, financialist, they had to appreciate that. And it did extremely well and that helped to change that perception.
Wow.
Okay. In the work and in my day life, I currently mentor, I would say maybe about 50 to 60 persons worldwide. Okay. Even my friends, I never found friends.
Yes.
I create mentorships. Okay. And I see mentorship as a two-way street. So I do have mentors who are 12 years of age, who are 18, 19, and they keep me grounded. Okay, so that, and the reason why that's important is that it helps me to understand what leveling is. Leveling, when we talk about diversity inclusion, whilst color or sexuality or gender or race is important, the biggest factor is diversity of thought process.
Yes.
Okay. And so that is one of the greatest movers. This is why sometimes when I look out there and I see what is happening around the world, I always think I can take up anger and be angry, or I can think about diversity of thought and say, look, times have changed.
Yeah.
Now let's look forward and see how that can, how can make a differentiation. And I've taken that into my work life in the fund that I'm creating.
Yes.
It focuses on diversity inclusion and financial inclusion. And it means that when we look at elements of collaboration, we look at elements of valuation modeling or an analysis, when we look at a business model canvas, when we look at compliance, when we look at taxation, all these elements really take into consideration diversity inclusion. And it's so funny because we were doing research into this 10 years ago, and now we see diversity and financial inclusion part of this formula, but back then, most people just ignored it. So I think that just tells us that when we take a diversity of thought process, we can land at a solution which may seem disruptive at the time 10 years ago. But when we look into the future now, we know that we were on the right path. And why? We consider diversity of thought process.
That's absolutely right. And I love this. I'm literally getting goosebumps. I'm so excited about the stuff you're talking about. Now, the thing that excites me the most, so lately, like ESG and diversity, equity, inclusion, those are kind of getting a bad rap, not because in concept it's bad, but the implementation was a little misguided for some people. And the reason why, what I love what you just said is because you're talking about the proper implementation. And a place where you and I connected on this is exactly what you said. I have a saying is neurodiversity is better than biodiversity. Not that we're shaming or making anything wrong, but what you're after is the diversity of thought, that neurodiversity to say, you know, the thing that matters, the thing that improves organizations is you're able to bring in people from different cultures, different perspectives, different academic training or the lack thereof. Either way, these differences are what should be celebrated. These differences, more importantly, in on a show called Making Billions, these differences should be invested in because they do yield real top line and bottom line profits, as well as reduces, we'll say, reputational risk that,
yeah,
as you know, a risk guy yourself. I do agree
with this 100%. Yeah. Well, look, there's two thought process. We can either speak about decolonizing,
yes,
and decolonizing the world, or decolonizing the economy, or decolonizing specific industry. Yeah. But when we focus on decolonizing, we're very much focused on the element of white and black,
yeah,
or Asian and that, and saying, yeah, let's remove factors of what colonization created.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as much as that is extremely important and a positive step forward,
yeah,
it really emphasizes on the color, on the culture. Now, flip that round, and now we have deconstructing the mindset.
Yes.
So what that means is removing all ethics of black, white, Chinese, and all that.
Yeah.
And let's focus on the thought.
Yes.
And how we need to deconstruct what we need to unlearn what we learned at work, unlearn what we learned in university,
right,
and focus on the mindset and say, what is it that we want to do?
Yes.
So then when we do that, we move from a society that is very much dependent on social factors,
yes,
and we move to a society whereby you become the driver of your own vision. And that being the driver of vision is what creates influences, is what created the startup economy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we can do that, and we deconstruct those old mindset, and now we reconstruct the diversity of thought process, now we move a leap forward whereby we create equality,
yes,
where we create a level playing field in absolutely everything, which creates the best creative minds, where we create mind-blowing concepts, which, yes, are unicorns in their own right and, yes, alphas, because they consider everyone.
I love that. Yeah. And so here we are. And I hope our fans listening around the world are really listening to what Simon not only is saying and will say, but what he said, and really capture the spirit of what Simon's trying to talk about. See, what I heard Simon earlier is you said, when I started at a particular employer, I was involved in driving change to create that level playing field. And I hope there's people out there that understand that and can follow that example, is to say, hey, there's positive ways, even with where you're at now, you can get started. You don't need to be a big deal like Simon Vandy. There was one point that Simon Vandy was just Simon, right? You weren't the myth, the man, the legend you are today. You're just a guy trying to do his best to make your job, but more importantly, the world and community you live in, a more equitable place. And so I hope people are capturing this, not just, oh, that's what some big shot did. It's like, no, Simon was just a regular guy early in his career, but he was determined to drive change to make it equal for everybody. So I love that. And I love that precedent. I mean, keep carrying on, man. You're crushing it. So now that I'm just doting over you, so now that you've created that, you went on to, my understanding is you went on to create something called the Reach Society. I'm wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, okay. So Reach Society is very much I guess, very much focused on what we were discussing. So way back in 2010, and the UK government created something called the Windsor Fellowship, and it's a research program.
Yeah.
And in that program, they wanted to see, you know, African, Afro-Caribbeans, people of Afro-Caribbean descent, and who had gone through and championed all above adversity in order to resurface and do something positive about their lives.
Right.
And I was lucky to be selected as one of those individuals.
Cool.
And out of 10,000 people, I think about 100 of us were selected.
Wow.
And this, as part of this initiative, we had to go and, you know, to schools, to universities, to events, and really kind of create positive mentorship.
Right.
And the organization lasted about 2 years. And when it finished, myself and about five persons, which you can see in the website, decided to create what was the Reach Society. And it was to help to create positive mentorship for black boys. Okay, so because of the huge amount of gun and knife crime, we thought that black boys needed black role models, black male role models.
Love
okay.
That. Yeah.
And I mean, black girls go through quite a lot, but unlike white men and white women, where white women really go have, you know, like serious problems in terms of getting what they want, is the opposite, right? So you normally find black girls are much more successful than black boys. Okay. So we wanted to create that positive mentorship, and we did. So that initiative grew from four of us at that time to, it's now about a 10,000, I think maybe about 10 to 15,000 strong membership. And it's created such a positive mentorship that in 20, I can't remember the date, it might have been 2018, and was awarded the MBE by the Queen of England.
Wow.
Okay. And now when that society, which society happens together, you now see, you know, every single businesses who come to this event in order to help, you know, Afro-Caribbean, so men, women, boys, girls, really move things positive. I had to detach myself from the organization after 2 years because I was posted to Germany.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, my colleagues who are there are doing amazing work. Do you understand? And I feel that just tells you that if you want to see change, then you have to be the change you want to see, wow. right? So we can either complain about it or we can do something about it. And to be very simple, come on, even celebrities like Beyonce talk about it when they say, ladies, get into formation, right? So whoever you are, get into formation, do something about it and be the change that you want to be.
I love that. And, you know, thank you. You know, you and I are very aligned on a lot of our values and our view of the world. And, you know, as you're telling me this story about the Reach Foundation, which isn't, I mean, you've done so many things, Cyber. This is incredible. So here you are, you start out very simple ways, driving change in your employer, and you wanted to go bigger, and you did. And so you stood up, you were one of the four founding members, and then now it's grown into 15,000 strong and continuing to grow, winning recognition from the Queen of England. I mean, man, this is absolutely incredible. So now that you've gone big, you've created that, and you and I are joining each other on our mission to help alleviate, if not eliminate, suffering. And I love, in a true data scientist fashion, you followed the statistics, you saw that, and you said, I can do something about it, right? Too often we feel like, well, I'm just one person, I'm one guy, I'm one girl. What can I do? Well, if those of you who are listening to Simon, the answer is you can do a whole heck of a lot. You just need to get started and keep building, right? Progression beats perfection every time. So you progress the causes that you cared about, which is the true spirit of the entrepreneur. You move that forward, you grew that, but you didn't stop there. You kept going. So where, you know, now that you built the Reach Society, where did it go from there?
You mean myself or the
World? Yeah, like in
I see.
Your
so
career,
my world was, I think the Reach Society was just cementing my thought process that anything you want to do can happen. Okay, so past the Reach Society, what I did was that I implemented the same thought process in the places I work. So for instance, when I worked in Deutsche Bank, when I worked in RBH, HSBC, I created what was the Rainbow Nation. My team, for instance, in RBS, We had Africans, we have Indians, we have Chinese, we have whites.
Yes.
It was amazing. Do you understand? Yeah. It was so positive. And I would say that in some of the banks that I work with, for instance, Deutsche Bank, they were very positive in doing about the same thing. I mean, they really take seriously integration of diversity. And when I and then what I did in the so from 2012 onwards to now, what I have been doing is really doing extensive research into, okay, how can I create positive change out there? Okay, so we see so many economies around the world, and we see startups or individuals who are constrained by local impediments, right?
Yes.
We see situations whereby the understanding of what it takes to actually invest in a company is really kind of, you know, it's not so easy to understand.
That's right.
Okay, and unfortunately, the VC market has not made that transparent enough. For the main reason that they're very, very competitive, and if you don't really know what you're doing, you're not going to get to them. Right. For me, it's like, no, we need to change that process. We need to help startups, and in order to be able to understand what is it does it take to make, to have that intention. So what does your valuation say about you? What does your team say about you? What does your prototype say about you? What does your marketing rollout plan say about you? What does your various risk, whether it's compliance, regulatory, commercial, market fit, all that, how do you go about constructing and creating something positive? And for me to understand that, I had to do through the various such startups that I've mentored, which is absolutely countless, to individuals who I mentored.
Yeah.
You know, I had to test that processes. I have got individuals who were on 30,000 a year, and I mentor them, and within 2 year period, or one year period, you know, their salaries were jumping up to 180,000, and some of them went to become investment managers from some of the biggest and venture accelerators and incubators or venture capital firms in the world.
Wow.
Okay, and I also went around and I spoke to so many people. I mean, I think you're based in Canada. I'm not sure who I can find in Canada, but I can tell you definitely that somewhere like in New York,
yes.
I was able to meet somebody who I consider formidable in his thought process.
Yes.
So a gentleman by the name of Raymond McGuire, who was head of corporate and investment banking global and the first Black Wall Street executive.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, apologies. I'm just going to connect my juice.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Just the ego out of the way. Hold on a second about this. Sorry about this.
Yeah, no problem.
There you go. We're on.
Yeah.
Okay. So I met Raymond McGuire.
Yeah. How did that affect you and your mission and your cause? Meeting Raymond McGuire.
Well,
what did that do for you?
You know, sometimes when we see ourselves, it doesn't matter who we are, right up here.
Yeah.
We have this phobia, like, I can't talk to this person.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not going to have the time of day.
Yeah.
But I can tell you one thing: everybody has a conscience, and everybody, at some points in their life, think about what is my legacy.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so when I meet people who I want them to be very impactful in my cause, I always draw them to the attention is about what's your legacy.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I met Raymond McGuire, very highly intelligent guy.
Yeah.
You know, Harvard graduate. We met at the Harvard lounge,
yeah.
And when he saw me the first time he was seeing me, he was like, "Who's the hell is this guy?" Do you understand?
Yeah.
But after 5 minutes, I was very clear in terms of my thought process, and we spoke about legacy.
Wow.
And that guy opened up to me, and I saw a man who really was very much focused also on driving change and creating level playing field. So I managed also in this process to really notch up very powerful people,
yeah.
Whether it's black or white, all supporters of diversity inclusion who will become, you know, astronomical play in making this happen. You understand?
Yes.
In helping my cause in making this forward. And so what I also did was in the last 2 years, I have researched heavily and come up with this application which we're building that will support the fund,
yes.
that I'm raising.
Yes.
Okay, so the application focuses on diversity inclusion.
Yeah.
It will be the world's first regulated ecosystem. Okay,
awesome.
That really looks at level playing field using conduct of business, using specific type of regulations to monitor that.
Yeah.
We'll look at the business modeling canvas, valuations, we look at collaborations, we look at IP license, we look at portfolio management and digital management escrow. And of course, we also have in that application people who support the course, so diversity inclusion. And for me, diversity inclusion means equality among everybody and bringing the level to the right point. And we also have the fund, which we're growing, and we hope it's going to be a $1 billion fund that will go towards supporting businesses of women, of ethnic minorities, of non-Ivy Leagues, but also supporting the businesses of our white counterparts who really also support the businesses, right? So for instance, Ryan, you may have a business that you, I know you very much, you're all about diversity. So therefore, we will put investment your ways. And the reason why that is, we know that if we help your business grow, you are also going to play out diversity and inclusion. So that's the thought process.
Wow, that's incredible. So now you're saying not only did I drive change while I was beholden to my corporate employers, we'll say, but now I went out on my own because you needed to go bigger, and you have, and you still are. So now that you've gone out on your own and you're raising, I know you raised like the second you announced it. I swear, it was like the second you announced that you're going to do this, you already got soft commitments, I think, just under $100 million. And you said, okay, whoa, let me slow this down a bit. Yes, thank you. We will get to you. We will actually collect. However, what you explained to me offline was you wanted to make sure that you produced a strong foundation, a strong strategy, support structure, a little bit of that, what you alluded to. So talk maybe a little bit more about... how your VC model, so you raised a bucket of money, and now how is that VC model going to move forward in helping your vision come to life?
So you were 100% right. When I started the process of raising, I got soft commitment up to $70 million.
Okay.
And I started putting together my fund, but from the get-go, and within about a week or two, I did get 70 million in self-commitment.
2 weeks.
But I had to halt it. Okay. I had to halt it. And I'll tell you why it was very fast for me to do.
Yeah.
So when you mention something that really supports in, you know, hybrid applications or applications that border on the cusp of reg tech. So reg tech means regulatory technology.
Yes.
It's easy to raise. Now tell me, which industry right now in the world is not being substantially fined by the regulators? Every single one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's a fintech application that has achieved unicorn status. That unicorn status starts to dip in year two, year three.
Right.
And the reason, because it has not been developed with regulation in mind.
Mm.
Our VC focuses on developing RegTech and RegTech hybrids, which means that we safeguard first the investor, safeguard the consumer, and we also work in tandem with the regulator to ensure that they understand what businesses need to be regulated or deregulated, or where tax incentives need to be introduced in those businesses where they felt was not definitely viable for their economy. So we do that. Okay, so we'll get assurances. So therefore, raising money is far much more easier because it's something will just boom up, right?
Yeah.
But when I raised the 70 million, what happened is that I went back and I thought, wait one second, I'm using the wrong approach here.
Okay.
When I talk about diversity inclusion, that means diversity of thought.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we really need to do research. We need to really build the right model that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is the reason why we held back and we are completely within our research mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also we are making sure that we build on our investor pipeline strategy.
Yeah.
We build in our supplier and our partnership pipeline strategy. We build in the deal origination that makes sense. Okay. And also we want to ensure that we take into consideration the right mechanism or the right industries that could be the ones which are impacts that could impact the diversity inclusion far much more greater, because you won't find minorities and women in all industries, but you will find them in some, and those are the ones where they can make the biggest impact, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And so you mentioned something that I thought was fascinating in building this structure that you're talking about. You said that you're building a VC model that's focused also on joint innovations and developing the ecosystem that supports early stage funders. I was wondering if you could walk through a little bit of what that means.
Okay, so for us is that a model which focuses on one group sets of people,
yes,
is a model that is destined to fail.
Right.
Okay. We believe that the model that works really is a model that focuses on growing the ecosystem. Okay. That fostered concerted and coordinated collaborations with the stakeholders of that ecosystem. So we're talking about startups, and startups could mean a portfolio company or fund manager. We're talking about accelerators and incubators. We're talking about large enterprises. We're talking about SMEs. We're talking about governments. We're talking about universities. And we're talking about research centers, etc. Okay, so if you see the models that we previously had, right? So we went from corporate ventures and in this model, so I'm just looking at my research notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the corporate ventures, we focus on de-risking the financial bets on research and development.
Yeah.
And we do this through external investments out there, right?
Okay.
And then we moved to accelerator incubator. This was the objective of this was mostly focused on innovation and research and development, scouting for the next generation of innovation that can really create an impact in the market. And then we had joint innovations where we had large enterprises really kind of doing joint ventures. This one now is much more bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. So ecosystem involves every single party.
Yeah.
Everybody contributing to what does it mean? Okay. Right. And I think when you look at all the models now for application development within the ecosystem, they also want to do something very similar to the,
yeah,
but it's not being done the right way. Okay.
I agree.
We here, yeah, exactly. Here it's not being done the right way. Here it's richly bringing all parties together,
yeah,
and identifying key bridge makers. Now I see Imagine fund managers as those bridge makers.
Yep.
Okay. Whereby they can help to connect the dots.
Yes.
And helping to connect the dots means that we need to look above and beyond. We need to look at compliance. We need to look at, finance. We need to look at business. We need to look at data science. We need to look at blockchain, right?
Yeah.
And we need to see who are all the parties within this.
Right.
And how can we make things far much more easier by creating our target operating model that helps to support these various areas. When we do that, then the solutions that come out of the fund management, or when I mean solutions, I'm talking about from our deal originations and into our thesis, will make sense because it'll be something that makes sense for the economy.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden we're creating applications which create reciprocity from one jurisdiction to the other.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because we are moving towards a global economy, right?
Yep.
Right? So it makes absolutely 100% sense. Plus also safeguards we create the right market structure,
yeah,
we create the right transparency and conduct of business, we create investor protection, and we create control, a control framework that borders on cross-border regulation.
Yeah. So I love that how, you didn't say it this way, but from what I'm hearing is really as investors, especially you and I in venture capital, but any private market investor and beyond, we are really on the cusp of investing in new businesses that will represent the new economy, at least according to our vision.
Absolutely.
Of the world. And so there is a new economy that's happening, climate tech, agritech, fintech. I mean, all
absolutely,
just slap tech on the end of it and you'll juice your valuations. No, I'm kidding. But, we're on the cusp. And so we can help influence that positive change. And I want to be very clear for our fans that Simon Vandy is someone who's doing diversity, equity, and inclusion the right way. You notice how you always talk about, no, this is for all. And if I could even just summarize what I'm hearing your vision saying is you are for something rather than against it. And that's the subtle difference. You're saying, no, we are for a positive change, not we're this and be glad we're not that, right? So we're not,
absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? You're saying we're driving
Ryan,
a true positive movement here.
You are 100. And the thing is that change has to start from us, okay? Yeah. So I can tell you that some of the stuff we're doing part of our venture studio, venture fund, is we know that painful technology development is extremely costly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What we do is we work with the startups.
Yes.
And we find out exactly how much it takes to scale up, whether it's through development or through market fit or et cetera.
Yeah.
Our investment to them will be us actually providing the resources that we have.
Yeah.
And we fund up to 70% of that. Right. So we provide
That's
resources.
A pretty good deal.
We also help. What we also do is we draw them into a room where we have, you know, industry experts who helps them to develop the architecture that makes sense.
Yes.
The architecture to create a level playing field, architecture that really helps with safeguards across regulation within their own jurisdiction and cross border. If you see companies like Binance went up, down, being kicked out of specific countries, why? They didn't think about regulation. Okay. So exactly. So for us, it's helping them to build those businesses that make sense, looking at blockchain, so a tokenization of asset, looking at AI, machine learning, right? Plus also what we do is we will help their advertising. Now, if you were to advertise on a billboard in New York, you're going to be paying something like $300,000.
Yeah.
Through us and through our partnerships to help this, we will actually invest and reduce so they only pay about 10% or 20% of that advertising. So all of a sudden, you can have a startup in Times Square that they never, ever dreamed of.
Oh,
and it doesn't matter where they are in the world.
I love this so much. Yeah,
exactly. We created partnerships where we have access to it's 300 screens worldwide. We also have advertising now through online. So for instance, CNN online, we could have adverts there again, a fraction of the price. So we're doing absolutely everything we do and creating partnerships to really help to drive forward, to create that equality, right? So that we're not going with the old school model where people are really squeezing their throat.
Yes.
You understand? Yep. You understand, to create businesses.
Wow.
That's our thought.
Yeah, I think you walked me through where you're like, Ryan, we can like get some of our students in our program or our fund, we can get them in Times Square advertising for just a mild percentage of what it would normally cost.
Absolutely. Actually, that reminds me. That's one of the things we're doing.
Yeah.
We also believe that we need to nurture the thought process of diversity, inclusion, but mentorship and allies. So one of the things we're currently doing is that we're putting out a program where we go and we are funding 1,500 students across Africa and India. These are students who potentially could not get into university. We are funding them in order to go through university. They will also be part of our program. When they graduate, they come to work for us.
Yeah.
Okay. And while they work for us, they're advancing their thought process in working with startups all around the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
We train them to be financial analysts, compliance analysts, business analysts, and data scientists. Plus, guess what? We also say to them, whilst you work for us, if you have an idea, put it into the venture studio, and guess what? We will fund it for you, so that maybe in 10 years' time, you could say, I don't want to work for you. But also, guess what? With the way the industry is going, don't make it a habit to hold on to something.
That's right.
What you do is you create your idea.
Yeah.
You create a license behind it and you license it out and you have a percentage.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're probably a creative entrepreneur and you have 1,001 ideas.
Yeah.
Why do you want to hold on to everything?
Yeah.
It's like property, like real estate, right? Sure. Exactly.
I love that. Yeah. And you know, let me know. I'm happy to support that cause and see if we can double that number for you. The scholarships, it's absolutely incredible. So very admirable, man. I mean, every time I ask you a question, you inspire me more and more with all the stuff you're doing. And I have a feeling there's so much more that we're not even going to be able to cover. But you can get a sense is that it just started with the subtle speaking up and having a mission a little bit in your career. And you just kept growing that over your extensive 26-year career. And I feel like you're just hitting your stride and man, I can't wait to see where you go with this. So, you know, I love that you focus on neurodiversity more than biodiversity. Not that there's anything wrong, but I feel like you get it. Right. And where a lot of people who maybe gave diversity, equity and inclusion a bad name is they were maybe not, they had the right intentions, but maybe poor implementation. And so now listening to you, I can hear that you've got it. You've got a good grasp. And I hope more people join in your vision. So before we wrap things up, Simon, is there anything else that you would like to include or anything else you think our fans around the world would appreciate here?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest friend you could have right now in order to get you forward is that in order to look forward, you need to look backward, you need to look inwards. Ooh. Okay, so sometimes sudden things happen and you think it's not happening, but sometimes the answer lies within yourself. So you talk about the stuff about me thinking about, you know, diversity of thought process. Yeah. I went through a period where I was as angry as absolutely everybody. Yeah. Okay. Where I was thinking, I was just spewing out the negativity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's negativity. I'm going to call it anger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, I'm not doing myself any good. And the reason why that is I'm holding on to it.
Yes.
As Oprah always says, forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself to move forward.
Yeah.
If you want to move forward, you need to let go, but you need to say, now that I've learned from this, how can I make this positive? That's okay. Right. And so you make it positive by creating that positive change. But when we talk about level playing field, it's not just about creating equal equity among everyone.
Yes.
And it's not just means, okay, we think, okay, our white counterparts have everything. So we're just going to focus on ethnic minorities and women.
Yeah.
What we need to do is to be very careful because we could focus so much on this that the scale is getting tipped the other way around.
That's right.
So what we need to do is kind of look through and say, okay, how can we do?
Yes.
Let's think about supporters on this side and get them to implement and vice versa.
Get everybody.
But also, I think, try and find people who I refer to as bridge makers, as I always mention, the people that connect the dots. And Brian, I've got to say this is going to be an embarrassment to you.
Oh boy.
But I see you as one of the people who connect the dots because ever since I've engaged with you, you're a guy who is very forward thinking in the businesses you do, in your thought process. You're very forward thinking. I would not have come on this show if I did not feel that you were a bridge maker.
Thanks.
Okay. I've listened to absolutely one of your show and you're all about making bridge makers. So making billions for me, most people translate making billions as making money. Okay. But for me, making billions, really, it's finding the core, the main reason why you were here, the main reason why you created Four. Right. So we need to stop being people's versions of who we are and try to find our own true identity.
That's right.
Once you find your true identity and your true core, and you think about creating level, you level everything from your thought process around people around it, guess what? Now you start getting the recognition. Okay, that recognition brings people to you, brings money, which if you look at influencers, is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So which means, what that means is, if you focus on finding your core, if you focus on creating a level playing field and you identify your bridge makers, you will become a billionaire.
Wow.
In the thought process and eventually to being a billionaire in cash, if that's what it is that you want.
Sure.
Okay. So I just want to thank you for being you. And I really hope you continue being you. And absolutely.
Wow, you're a total stud, man. I love talking to you, man. And you know, I love what you said about you know, you as a true data scientist, I'm like you get lost in the numbers and you start to see these trends and connect the dots. And in the beginning it kind of bothered you. You're saying this is unacceptable, and you could feel that anger or that you know, that frustration with why is it this way? But then it wasn't my understanding. You didn't say this. I totally am. So you said, look, this isn't productive. In fact, it's likely destructive to me. It's not helping anybody, even though, yes, this is upsetting trends that I'm seeing. You converted it from a destructive energy to a constructive energy. And you said, look, I'm not doing anybody any favors by approaching this in a very angry way. That's not, you know, that's not who I am. I can testify that is not who you are. You're a wonderful, caring, giving man. And you converted that into a more constructive movement. And I would argue, my guess, I'm going to guess here, is when you converted it to a positive movement, you're still, we'll say, attacking the data, But doing it through a positive cause rather than one driven in anger and frustration, you shift it to a positive cause. And then all of a sudden things start taking off. All of a sudden supporters start showing up.
Absolutely.
Everybody starts rallying around that cause because, like we said earlier, you now shifted it to be for something rather than against something. And people instantly respond to that and said, how do I support Simon? I love what he's trying to do. It's a very positive change. He's trying to elevate everybody, regardless of where they grew up or anything. He wants to see suffering go down and improvement and inclusion to go up. How am I doing so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, one thing as well. I've got to say this. I really have to say this.
Go ahead.
Okay. For me, the greatest inspiration for me on earth here are women.
Okay.
Okay. Women are the original startups. Right. Our parents, our mothers and sisters, we're multitasking. We're doing the disruptive business way before anybody. So, I just wanted to say that, and that's my support, you know, to women.
All right.
Well, most, I have got strong women in my family.
Yes.
My mom, my sister, who are the greatest inspiration in my life, and I'm sure it's exactly the same to you. And I look forward to a time where women can command exactly the same as men, whether it's in the office space and whether it's in the salary space. I just wanted to say that.
Yes, I love that. So, you know, as we wrap up and we conclude things here, our time with Simon Vandy and I hope you enjoyed it. You know, the final takeaway notes, seek for neurodiversity more than biodiversity. Seek to drive whatever causes that you care about. Do it in an actual caring manner. Driving these things and bringing people up with you is the billionaire discipline, in my opinion. You do these things and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions.
Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.